Parshas Nitzavim and Vayelech. There we go. Atem Nitzavim Vayom Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. You're standing today, all of you, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your God, Rosheichem, Shivteichem, Ziknechem, Veshotreichem. The heads of you, I guess. Shivteichem, your Shvatim. Oh, Rosheichem, Shivteichem, Ziknechem, Veshotreichem. I don't really know what that is. Now that I think about it, I don't really know how to translate Rosheichem, Shivteichem. Interesting little line. Either way, all of your elders, Mishotrechem, and all of your officers, Kol Yisrael, all the men of Yisrael. Chazal tells the following. Last week's Parsha, Parsha Kisav, we went through the klolos. There were curses. It went through a lot of bad things. Chazal tells there were 100 klolos minus 2, Chasar Shtayim. 100 minus 2 klolos. Now, obviously, we're all very good at math, so we all know that 100 minus 2 is 98. There's no reason for it to really say 100 minus 2. You could just tell us there were 98 klolos. So Chazal tells a different thing. Chazal Sofer says, what they need to say is that there are 98 klolos that take place in Kisavo, 98 klolos that are here inside all of Shishi, and two of the klolos are in the beginning of Parshas Nitzavo. Two of those curses are over here. So there's 100 curses, but there's really 98. So we go 100 minus 2. Those extra two are not written down anywhere. They're just known that there are two curses at the beginning of Parsha Nitzavim. We don't know where they are. We don't see them anywhere. If you would read through the Parsha, you wouldn't find them. But we just know they're there. So that scared Bnei Yisrael. And Bnei Yisrael heard that. When Bnei Yisrael heard that there were two curses that they didn't know about, that they didn't know what they were, they never heard what they were, they got very scared. They said it could be anything. It could be absolutely anything at all. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to them and said to them, Atem Nitzavim Hayom. You guys are standing here today. It's not that big of a deal. Everything's good. Everything's fine. Because look, you're standing here today. You're doing okay now. So those two curses must not be so bad for you. Don't worry about it. Yaros Tavash, Rabbi Yonasan Agshitz asked, what were those two curses? They're not written in the Torah. What were those two curses that were so bad that they couldn't even be written in the Torah? He says the two of them are the death of Talmidei Chachamim and Yisurin, travails, the bad issues that Talmidei Chachamim have. The bad problems that they have. Those two things are so bad that they couldn't be written in the Torah itself. Couldn't be written in the Torah itself. Let's think why. Talmidei Chachamim are given over to Bnei Yisrael to be able to improve themselves and to raise themselves up to a milah that they wouldn't have gotten to otherwise. With Talmidei Chachamim, a person can become a tremendous person. Without a Talmid Chacham, without the right Talmid Chacham, you could become a nobody. That's not even becoming much. You could become an absolute nobody. You could not do anything with your life. The death of a Talmid Chacham makes us lose out on what we've had. Makes us lose out on another person that we can go to and be impressed by and be have an unbelievable ashpo with. Be mashpia from. We don't have that anymore. We won't have that anymore. So the worst punishment that you could ever give Klal Yisrael would be the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. The death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yisurin of Talmid Chacham is the exact same way. If a Talmid Chacham is tremendous Yisurin, they can't work at full speed. They can't do their full effect that they would have otherwise. They're not the full Talmid Chacham that they were. They're a different person. It's no longer, you no longer have Moshe Rabbeinu there. It's like a half of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's something else aside from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's just not enough. Atem Nitzavim Hayom, said Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, today, the last day of my life, when Vayelech Moshe, when he said, I'm 120 years old today, Zion Adar, said Moshe Rabbeinu, today is going to be the worst day of any of your lives. I'm going to die today, and I'm already getting my Yisurin. The two curses that are out there. Atem Nitzavim Hayom, you guys are standing all here today. Me, I'm going down. I'm no longer going to be here. That's going to be a tremendous loss for you, because he knew, Moshe Rabbeinu knew who he was. He knew what he was supposed to be in this world. And I also have the greatest Yisurin that a tzaddik can ever have. What is the greatest, the worst thing, the greatest punishment that a tzaddik could have? Name it for me. If you think about it, you can name it. The worst thing that a tzaddik, that a Talmid Chacham could have, there's nothing worse than this. You can't get any worse than this. What could it be?
Not being able to learn.
That's it. Not being able to learn. What happened in the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life? Nistatmu mayanos hachochmah. He no longer was able to learn. He no longer had the wisdom. He no longer could speak out clearly what he wanted to say. His chachmah was gone. He no longer was able to say it. So because of that, it was the worst Yisurin that Moshe Rabbeinu could ever imagine. Every time Moshe Rabbeinu, aspaklaria hameira, the Gemara says, he had such a clear nevuah. It was like when he said something over, it was Zos. It was, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. He was so clear. It was unbelievably clear. It was like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Bnei Yisrael was unbelievable. But on this day, it became unclear. Everything lost it a little bit. He lost just a little bit of what he had. That, both of those curses, the last two curses of the 100 curses, the minus two, so to speak, were the worst things that could ever happen. You know why they're not written in the Torah? You know why they're not written inside? There's nothing bad that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can put into this world that he can't turn into good. We spoke last year about how all the curses in the Parsha can turn into good. If you rewrite them, you reword them, you can turn it into good. Even though it says you're going to die and this and that and the other, you can turn that into good. No, your sins are going to die and you're going to become great and this and that and the other. You can retranslate the curses and everything. But here, these curses can't become good. There's nothing you can do. There's no way to make a Misa of a Talmud Chacham any better. There's no one who will replace that Talmud Chacham. There's nothing you can do to make that happen. It won't happen. There's nothing that you can do. You sort of Talmud Chacham, there's nothing you can do. Nothing compares to that when the Talmud Chacham can't learn anymore. People don't think that they need these Talmud Chacham. They think we're going to be able to go on. We'll go on without them. I want you to read three psukim over here.
We have for quite a while. We haven't really had them.
We've had people that still live in the world that you can look up to, although you're right. Nothing like what we had. But for our generation, they're good enough. Yeah.
Do you mean a Talmud Chacham or a tzaddik? Because I almost feel like there's
call it, there definitely is. I am calling the leaders of the generation Talmud Chacham and then tzaddikim. Unnecessarily so. Yeah, I'm not giving any specific. I'm not saying one specific and not the other. I'm saying either one of them, the leaders of the generation. Now, I got this Aliyah twice this week. Shabbos Mincha, because it was my birthday. And, yeah, happy birthday to me. And then I got it again on Monday, because it was my birthday on Sunday, my English birthday. And in Skokie, you go by the English birthday. So anyway, I got it on Monday. The same exact Aliyah over here. And I got it. It's Shlishi in this week's Parsha. It is the... I don't want to say this badly. It's the worst Aliyah you could possibly get. It's like, maybe there's some thoughts of Avodah Zarah in you. Yeah, you're going to get them. There's not much going to happen with you. And here we go. It's Tukim. Yeah, it's good part too. Maybe there's somebody here whose heart is turning away from God to go serve the idols of the other nations. Maybe you have some things wrong inside you. You're thinking some evil thoughts. When you hear these curses, and you'll bless yourself, saying, I'll be in peace. I'll do what I want. There's no good translation in English. Oh, let's find it over here in English. You have an English art school. Hold on. Next page, here we go. Here we go. Peace will be with me, though I walk as my heart sees fit, thereby adding the watered upon the thirsty. Yeah, I want you to translate that for me. Adding the watered onto the thirsty. Rava is somebody who is full, who is drunk. Samea is thirsty. Sephos is adding onto. Okay, I hear that. What does that mean? Then it says, Lo Yivashem Sloch Lo, God will not forgive that person. I'm sitting there with my Aliyah saying, God, please forgive me. it's the worst Aliyah. God is going to get angry at such a person. The Rosh will call all the Ksuba the Sefer. He's going to give you all the curses written in the Torah. God will erase his name from underneath the sky. It can't get much worse than that. And maybe there is something that's worse than that. I don't know what it is exactly. But that's pretty darn bad. You don't get much worse than that. So Rav Schwab says a little bit differently. He says, Rava is somebody who's full of mitzvos like a rimon. Full of mitzvos. A guy who has tons of mitzvos, but he doesn't learn Torah. Samea, and those people are thirsty for water, and water refers to Torah. So the Rava says, I'll give money over to the Tzameah. So people that are thirsty for learning. Those who want to learn all day long, but they know they need money, so they want to work, I'll pay for them so that they'll go ahead and learn all day long, and I'll support them. This person says to himself, now there are some people that do this tremendously, but this person says to himself, I don't need them, they need me. I'm giving it to them. They're not giving me anything. I'm doing it out of the goodness of my heart with my hard-earned money, the money that I'm using for myself. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give it over to somebody to come in to help them. He's not doing it because of Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to. He's doing it because of religiousness. He could be a religious Christian, and he would still give over to the church. He's not doing it because this is what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. He's doing it because this is a nice thing to do. He happens to be doing a great thing, helping other people learn, but he's not doing it for the right reason. Says Rav Schwab, very, very adamant. Rav Schwab is classic on this. That guy is religious, but he's not a Jew. That's not a Jew. He says, Yahadus, Judaism, goes with, if you want to give money, you're giving money because a Kadosh Baruch Hu told me what I'm supposed to do with my money. I'm supposed to support certain people. I'm supposed to give my money over to a certain type of thing and not to something else. If you just give money to anybody, that's not good enough. Rav Schwab gives an example. Imagine you find a mitzvah in the street. You find something lost in the street.
You happen to know that it belongs to a non-Jew. So you want to return it to the non-Jew. Can you return it to the non-Jew? You know what the halacha is? The halacha is, you can, but there's no mitzvah. So a person might say to himself, well, you know what, I'm going to return it. But you know there's a condition. The only way for you to return an aveda to a non-Jew is if the non-Jew will think good things about Jews from then on. You'll make a Kiddush Hashem. If you're not going to make a Kiddush Hashem, it's usur to return the lost item to that non-Jew. You know why? It's usur. Absolutely usur. Why? Because returning an aveda after it got lost is a mitzvah in the Torah. And the Torah specifically says to Jews. It only says vashevo so low, velo la'akum. And not the non-Jews. If you go ahead and you say, well, this is the nice thing to do, that shows that you're not doing the Torah because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You keep it because, oh, these laws make sense. To the point where if you would see a law that didn't make sense to you, you wouldn't do it. Well, you say to yourself, I don't know why I'm doing it. I don't really care so much, but I guess it's not going to hurt me so much. That person, says Rav Schwab, is not a Jew. He's religious, but he's not a Jew. That's strong, strong lashon from Rav Schwab.
Well, what about
strong lashon? Yeah.
What about when you're dealing with other Jews? Like, what do you do with your money? So you have money, and then you have Jews here. You think, like, so who do you give to?
There's so many machlokes in the world. But before I get to that question, Ellie.
Tell a person, okay, if the Torah doesn't have to give it to you, I'm
going to
do it anyway.
Yeah, in order to make a Kiddush Hashem. In other words, Yaakov Kamenetsky used to tell people specifically, return the lost items. Even if a non-Jew would just make a mistake, it's not like a lost item, you just made a mistake. You must, said Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, you must return to the non-Jew, because you'll make a Kiddush Hashem. And you have a mitzvah to make a Kiddush Hashem. Keeping the money for yourself, okay, whatever, but you have a mitzvah to make a Kiddush Hashem. You should go out and make that Kiddush Hashem. But to go ahead and take that lost item, we can get into it some other day. But the concept of you must return a lost item to somebody who lost it, where does that come from? There's no law like that. There's no law anywhere that you have to return lost items to its owner. There's no law. Yeah, you should. You should. But is that the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu made the mitzvah? What are you doing the mitzvah for? Because it's a nice thing to do? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded it. If the Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded to make a Kiddush Hashem, that's a different story. But it's something that makes sense, but what are you doing it for? That was the point of him. But you're right, Paul. So what do you decide? How do you make a decision? But it says specifically to a Jew, and the Gemara Darshan's and not a non-Jew. Lo la'akum. That's the reason why. But yes, vashivo solo. It does say that you're supposed to return it to him. That without a question. What? Paul's question was, well, how are you supposed to decide? There's so many different things. So what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to have?
To your brother first, and then to your brother, and then it's like to your,
that's a different, that's when paying money in order to give it off. There's a point of tzedakah as well. Point of tzedakah as well. Rachva miniyam. Listen, whenever you hear somebody say something and saying, here's the halakha, you always say, like, okay, so what does everybody else say? I mean, somebody asked me today, do I have to tovel my coffee maker? That's to tovel my coffee maker. So I'm like, I could tell you four different shitas on this one. I could tell you all these different, I mean, there's so many different shitas. What do I hold of? Well, I'm not a posek. You know what makes a posek? Listen to this. The pasuk says the words, lo bashamayimi. It's not, the Torah is not in the sky. The lo me'ever layomhi. It's not on the other side of the sea. You know what Pshat is? Torah is rachva mini yam. It's larger than the sea, wider than the sea. Meaning, there are so many different things going on in the Torah. We know how the Torah is written. 70 different pshatim, 70 different drushim, 70 different ramazim, 70 different sotos. In every letter. In every letter. In every little nikud, in every little truff, in everything. There's 70 of each leading up to what? 70 times 4. By the last time I counted, I'm not sure this is true, but 280 pshatim all together. I'm shat, remez, drush, and sod in all the different ways of learning things. And then there's 50 different ways of learning each one of those pshatim. 50 different levels of Kedusha in each one of those pshatim. You could just keep going for years. Do you know what really? Do you know how many opinions there are? How many ways of looking at the Torah? How many ways of paskening from the Torah? You know what Posek needs? He needs something called Mesora. He needs to bring himself back. You can't just decide this on your own. What do you get to? Great question. Ask that tzaddik. If you lose a tzaddik, you know what you lost? You lost Mesora. You lost another source that goes all the way back. We connect back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu at Talmidim, the Rambam, connects himself back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Says, my Rebbe was this, and my Rebbe, and his Rebbe was this, and his Rebbe was that. Goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And we can do the same if you can bring yourself back to the Gra. If you can bring yourself back, my Rebbe was this person, his Rebbe was that person. Bring yourself all the way back. When the Rav, your soul, the Rav that teaches Torah, whatever it is. If you can bring yourself back, then you brought yourself back to Moshe Rabbeinu. You can bring yourself all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. You have a pure Mesorah going all the way through. Sometimes, in order to come out with a halacha, a posek needs to stop everything and know what would Moshe Rabbeinu say. What would Moshe Rabbeinu say? How do you know that? From his Talmidim. How do you know what his Talmidim would say? From his Talmidim. How do you know what those Talmidim would say? And you keep going all the way back. There are ways of paskening. The Rith had a way of paskening. The Rambam taught us a way of paskening. The Rush taught us a way of paskening. The Shulchan Aruch told us what we should do when we have such a machlokas. And they kept going. To know, lo bashamayim. You can't just wake up and say, you know what? I'll ask God. You know this halacha? You're not allowed to ask Eliyahu Anavi. The halacha? You can't go up to Eliyahu Anavi. It's unbelievable.
What?
It's absolutely unbelievable. You can't ask Eliyahu Anavi. Because think about it. Every Tana and every Amora had the ability. They all argue Eliyahu. They all spoke to Eliyahu Anavi. Eliyahu Anavi was all over the place in Shas. All over the place. He's walking this way. He's walking that way. Everybody talked to Eliyahu Anavi. Don't you think if they came out with a teku, Tishbi, Yataritz, Kushis, V'Yabayis? So like, hey, Eliyahu, I got a quick question for you. I got two on Chukbiz and Manala. I got two right over here. I can ask you so many questions. Eliyahu Navi, are you ready? Why didn't they ask? You know what shot is? Because you can't ask Eliyahu Navi. Loba Shamayini. At the time, Eliyahu Navi is not really a person. He's a Malach. He's in Shemayim. He can't paskin for us. Eliyahu Navi will paskin the Shilas for us when he comes back as a human being. Lost his love, though. When he comes back as an actual person. Right now, he's a Malach, says the Chasam Sofer. We have no Shaykhs, Eliyahu Navi. Loba Shemayim, it's up to us. And how do we paskin? Based on Mesorah. Where do we get a Mesorah? From those Samadhi Chachamim. If they die or if they lose their Torah, there's no greater loss for Klal Yisrael. Because we no longer know how to paskin. We don't know what to do. We can guess. I can say, yeah, I'll tell you all four opinions. But I can't tell you what to do. I have to send you to Rabbi first. Well, I got to send you to Rabbi Cohn or Rabbi Schwartz. I have to say, you go to them. Because I have no idea how to paskin. I was never taught how to paskin. I was taught how to learn. That's about it. That's a very, very big difference. Very big difference. Throughout every generation, there are gedolim making chedushim. Trying to come up with chedushim Torah and coming up with ideas that were never there before. People that never understood this way before. Now I understand it this way and coming up with chedushim. Every chedush that a person makes is from Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama. Every single chedush. The Tiferes Shlomo, the Radomsker says, Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is brought into any person who comes up with a chedush in the Torah. If you come up with a chedush, something that nobody else thought of before, at that moment, Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama went inside your body and helped you say it. Because Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything. That's why in the Gemara you'll see sometimes, Moshe, Shaper Kol Marta. The Amoraim would call each other Moshe. Because at the time when they would say such good things, you said such a great thing. You're known as Moshe Rabbeinu. You are Moshe Rabbeinu because you came up with this idea. It's unbelievable what people come out with. That's the beginning of the Parshas Vayelech. Vayelech Moshe, Vayedaber, Ethid, Rima, Elo, Kol Yisrael. Where'd Moshe go? Where did he go? You know where he went? To every single person in Klal Yisrael. He went into the neshamos of every single person in Klal Yisrael, Vayedaber, Ethid, Rima, Elo, and he spoke out the words of the Torah. Es kol divrei HaTorah Azos, O Kol Yisrael. He's there for every single person in Klal Yisrael. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, it's not the same. It's much harder to get to Moshe Rabbeinu. You can still bring Moshe Rabbeinu back. You can still bring that Mesorah back as long as you have something. But it's so much harder. You ever tried to bring Moshe Rabbeinu back? You ever tried to come up with a chiddush in the Torah? It didn't just come to you just like that. You got to work hard. You got to work hard. And even then, it's like a little tiny chiddush. It's like a little tiny little ball of chiddushin. You get nothing. It's like a nothing. Nothing chiddush. But you have a tiny little bit of Moshe Rabbeinu every time that you come up with such a thing. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, 3,000 halachos were lost. 1,700 kalvachomers were lost. And even though Osniel ben Kenaz was able to bring back some of that, he wasn't able to bring back everything, but Osniel ben Kenaz brought back some of that, it still wasn't the same. It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to us. It was Osniel ben Kenaz speaking to us. It just wasn't the same. Then the other curse, Yisurin. Yisurin, Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was beyond anything that you can imagine. You spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, you knew God was there. You knew it. You spoke to Yirmiah, Yechezkel, Yeshaya, Yitzchak. You had your doubts. You looked at him and said, yeah, I guess so. I guess there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I guess a Kodesh Baruch Hu said that. There's a big difference between the two. So listen to this. There are two ways of looking at Parshas Ha'azinu. Parshas Ha'azinu, next week's Parsha. So this. The first way is like this. Reb Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev says, Nistatmu Mayanos HaChochma. That means that his springs, his wells of wisdom dried up. On the last day, oh, hold on, right now, Vayelech Moshe, right at this point, when Moshe Rabbeinu was dying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Chochma that he had given him, and he no longer was Moshe Rabbeinu with Aspak Laryan Ira, a clear Nebuah that went straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He no longer had that. Now he became Aspak Larya Shein. What's the difference between the two? Here's the difference. Aspaklaria Meira is looking through that Diet Coke bottle. I can still see the tissue box from right behind it. I can still see it straight through. It's a clear window, which I'm seeing straight through. Aspaklaria Sheina Meira is like seeing a moving picture. It's like watching a TV show or a movie, a clean one. Everything's all good, like the Nature Channel. You know, something like that. But it's like watching something. It's just a picture. You have to translate it yourself. When it's clear, you look across, you see, oh, Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to tell me there's a tissue box. That's what you see with Aspak Larya Meira. Most of it was able to say, Zeh, this is what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. By Nevi'im, it came out as the word Ko. Ko Amar Hashem. So says God. It's not this directly. It's Ko Amar Hashem. There is a concept out there that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has. You can't see it directly. They say to them, this is my translation of the parable. This is my translation of the riddle that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me. There could be a mistake. Now, we trust our Nevi'im that they didn't make mistakes. But there could be a mistake in theory because you could translate it in a different way, in a different shape or form, in a different way that was there from beforehand. Listen to this. You know there's two different ways of mentioning a chazan in Chazal? Does anybody know those two different ways of wording them? Somebody who davens for the Yamud is called Shalat Sibur, that's good. It's called something Lifnei Ateva. Ha'over Lifnei Ateva or Hayored Lifnei Ateva. So there's either one. What's the difference between them? Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev says, you know what the difference between Ha'over and Hayored is? There are two different ways of a tzaddik being able to learn. One is, let the words leave you. You daven, and you say to the words, you look at the words, and you say, oh, now I understand this, now I get this, and you're from the words that you read, it brings you up. The other way, and the higher way, is that you leave the words. There's how Yored Lifnei Ateva, you bring yourself down in front of the words, and you let the words lead you, or over Lifnei Ateva. The guy who goes in front of the words and says, words come with me. The words that you're saying are what Chazal told you to do, but you yourself don't need those words. You can go straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even without those words. Most of it was Aspaklaria Meira. He went straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't need any specific words to say. He knew exactly what to daven at every time. When Miriam got sick, Kel Na Rifan Allah. That's the most awesome tefillah of all time. Kel Na Rifan Allah. Five words. Almost every single one of them are two letters. That's awesome. And she was healed immediately. She got 7 days in which she had to have the tzaras in order to be hut and muskur for Klal Yisrael. But five words. And then he davened for 40 days for Klal Yisrael and Har Sinai so that they wouldn't be destroyed because of the Egel Azov. Moshe Rabbeinu knew what to do. There were no words leading him. He was leading the words. But now, says the Kedushas Levi, no. By Yelech Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had to go by Yadaber. And then speak the words. He had to go after the words. He had to find the words. Now he was at Yored Lifnei Ateva. Says the Kedushas Levi, he went down a little bit. That's why Parshas Ha'azinu is so hard to understand. You can't understand a word of Ha'azinu. You go through Ha'azinu, now one word makes sense. You have no idea what's going on. There's no connection. Everything's like, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. It seems the strangest psukim, one after the other. There's no flow. But Chazal tell us that in those words of Ha'azinu, there is every single thing that has ever happened in the world that ever will happen in the world. It's all there. We'll talk about it in 2 weeks from now.
But
every single thing there, well, how old person's going to die? Everything's going to be inside there. Everything is in there. You know what Pshat is? Because Moshe Rabbeinu at this point was Nisnatu Me'ene HaChokma. He no longer had that wisdom. He no longer had the ability to be so clear in front of Klal Yisrael. Right now he's a Yored with Ne'ateva. So the way he spoke out his last Nevuah for Klal Yisrael, the way he spoke out his final prophecy for Klal Yisrael, telling them what would be for the rest of all time, he couldn't say it clearly. Because it wasn't the same type of chokmah in his head. It wasn't the same way that he had it before. Okay, the Ma'aril, this is a much bigger chiddush. That's one way of looking at it. That Moshe Rabbeinu was going down, and that's why we can't understand Ha'azinu. Ma'aril says the exact opposite. it says by Moshe, three questions he asked. Number one, Vayelach Moshe. Where did he go? Where did Moshe Rabbeinu go? Number two, it says, Ben Meav Asrim Shana Anochi Ayom, I'm 120 years old today. Everybody yelled out, happy birthday. Lo Chal Od Latzis V'Lavo, I no longer can go anywhere. I'm too old, I can't go anywhere. It's too late. But in Parshas Zos HaBracha, it says Moshe Rabbeinu, at the age of 120, Lo Nasleicho. He didn't lose anything. He was still just as healthy as he was beforehand. He didn't lose anything at all. He was just as good at the age of 2 as he was at 120. He was just as good. So what does that mean? I can't do anything anymore. Because I'll say he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah on the last day of his life. I'd like to see you write one throughout your entire life. He wrote 13 on the last day of his life. What do you mean he can't go anywhere anymore? What does that mean? So again, what's Vayelech Moshe? Number two, what does it mean I can't go anywhere anymore? That seems to be a steer from everything else we know about Moshe Rabbeinu. Number three, Nun Shari Bina Nimsru LaMoshe Chutz Me'achas. 15 gates of understanding were given to Moshe, except for one. Tell me 49. 50 minus 1. The same thing that we started off with, 100 minus 2. What is this? 50 minus 1 were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Just tell me 49. What do you have to tell me 50 minus 1 for? Mariel says an unbelievable thing. Moshe Rabbeinu got to the 50th level of Torah. The 50th level of Torah, the Shar Nun, that people don't get to, Moshe Rabbeinu got there. But there was a problem. If you're on the 50th level, you have no idea what's going on in the rest of the world. You can't relate to the rest of the world. The rest of the world means nothing to you. Because you realize, when you're on that 50th level, you know everything is all good. Everything is good. Something bad happens, a person passes away, you laugh. You laugh. You're like, oh, Baruch Hashem! You can't cry. You can't relate to people. People look at such a person, they say, that guy's way too far off. I can't deal with that person. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be on the 50th level because he had to teach Klal Yisrael. So because of Klal Yisrael, he had to be on the 49th level. He was given Nun Shari Bina, but Chutz Me'achas. He couldn't have that one level. He wasn't allowed to have that one level. Isn't it surprising? We started off with the curses being 100 minus 2. This is 50 minus 1. No surprises here. No surprises. The pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to be on the 50th Shar because of Klal Yisrael. Until when? When would he be able to be on the 50th level? When he no longer had to be with Klal Yisrael. On that level, he was allowed to be on the 50th level and be in the Nun Shari Bina. He was allowed to get that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided it's no longer for him. He was going to be done. When did that happen? In Parshas Vayelech. When he goes to the Ohel Moed with Yoshua, and Yoshua is called into the Ohel Moed, and Moshe Rabbeinu stays back. At that moment, Yoshua becomes the leader of Klal Yisrael. Before Moshe Rabbeinu dies, Yoshua is the leader of Klal Yisrael. And at that moment, Moshe Rabbeinu no longer needed to be on the 49th level. Kadosh Baruch Hu could give him the Nun Shari Bina. Kadosh Baruch Hu could give him all 50 levels because he no longer was mashpi at a Klal Yisrael. No longer did he have that hashpa that Klal Yisrael would be there. He needed a little thing. Torah had to be given with a Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael. It had to be a Mesorah. There had to be a Mesorah straight from Moshe to us. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have been on the 50th level the whole way through, there would have been no Mesorah. He would have given us the Torah and said, guys, figure it out on your own. There would be no Mesorah. We wouldn't be able to bring ourselves back to Moshe. Now we can. Now we can get there. Give you another thing. This is just, the Mariel says it's unbelievably. When do we celebrate Shavuos? What day? 49. Now, the 50th day, which is what? What date? Date is Vav Sivan. When did Bnei Yisrael get the Torah? On Zion Sivan. Moshe Rabbeinu added on a day. Hosef Yom Echad Midaito. Listen to this. How can we say Yom Matan Torah Seinu on Vav Sivan? The day that we got the Torah on Vav Sivan. We didn't. We didn't receive the Torah. We got it the next day. We really got it after 50 days. On the 51st day, we got the Torah. Not on the 50th day. How could we claim today is the 50th day? Today is Yom Matan Torah Seinu. It wasn't. According to all Shitas, well, I shouldn't say all Shitas. According to most Shitas, we got the Torah the next day. Moshe Rabbeinu pushed it off a day. What's Pshat? How many levels did Bnei Yisrael get? 49. So on the 50th day, they could receive the Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu got how many? 50. So he had to receive the Torah on the 51st day. Moshe Rabbeinu added on a day, Ledaito. According to him, he needed the extra day to get that 50th level. For Klal Yisrael, should have been on Vav Sivan. For us, Yom Matan Torah Seinu was Vav Sivan. But Moshe Rabbeinu needed it himself. But the Matan Torah Seinu for us, in essentially occurred on the 50th day. We were at Har Sinai. We could have been masig the Torah on that 50th day.
So why would he need an extra day? He didn't get it on that 50th
day. He didn't get it. But he was released from it, that he wouldn't have that. The 50th level was always there, hanging above Moshe Rabbeinu's head, waiting to come down for him. It was there, but it never came down to Moshe Rabbeinu until the very, very end of his life. Says the Ma'aril, that's the pshat. We can say Yom Matan Torah Seinu. For us, that's Yom Matan Torah Seinu. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the next day. It's Zayin Sivan. It's one of the reasons why Shavuos has to be 2 days. The Magen Avraham has an opinion that Shavuos was 2 days even during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. It was 2 days. Because there's 2 days of Matan Torah. This is the day that we keep Vav. And then Zion was the day for Moshe Rabbeinu, for the day for that 50th level. Now listen to this. Oh wait, what were we going to say?
So what about Rabbi Akiva?
Rabbi Akiva getting the 50th level. There's something behind Rabbi Akiva. We can't go through that right now. You're 100% right, Paul. There's no question about it. We had a whole board on Rabbi Akiva getting the 50th level. Listen to this. Toward the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, Moshe was given that 50th level. Says the Ma'aril, he couldn't be Mashpia anymore. So now his Nevuah was it wasn't understandable. You couldn't understand him. It's not that he lost his Chokmah and therefore Hazinu is very, very unclear, like the Kedushas Levi said. It's the opposite. He was so far above us, his Nevuah was beyond our world. It was something that we don't understand. It's the 50th level. Hazinu is the 50th level of learning. If you were on the 50th level, you could understand Hazinu, but we're not. So we can't. Somebody who's on the 50th level cannot go any further. There's no further that a human mind can go. At that point, you are an omeg, like a malach. You're an omeg. You stand still. You can't go any further. While a human being is a holeg, you always go further and further. This was the last day that Vayelech Moshe, that Moshe was able to go further and further and grow and grow and go higher and higher within that 49th level. When you get to the 50th level, it's too late. You're now an omeg. You can't go any further. Vayelech Moshe at this point, and he said, Ben Mea Ve'esrim Shana Anochi Ayom. Mea Ve'esrim is 120. Omeid, Ayin Vav Mem Dalet is a gematria of 120. I am an Omeid today. Lo Chalod, let's say, Svalavo. I no longer can teach you any Torah. Today is the last day, and soon, when Yeshua is called to the Omeid, I'm no longer able to teach you Torah. I'm no longer able to do it. Therefore, Parsha Zinu, the last Nevuah, he gives out loud to Klal Yisrael. The Brachos is the difference. So even the Brachos are very non-understandable when he goes to the Brachos. The Nevuah that he's giving now is too much for us. This level that Moshe Rabbeinu got, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the ability to see why things happen, even when there's something bad. In this week's Parsha, for some reason, we have a Gemara. Esther mina Torah minayim. How do you know that Esther is from the Torah? It's just a strange question of the Gemara in Chulin. Esther mina Torah minayim. How do you know Esther is in the Torah? The Gemara says, V'anochi hastir astir panai bayomahu. I will hide my face, says God, on that day. So Asher, I'm going to give Esther Panim. I'm going to do Esther Panim. Stop being Esther Panim. There's a face, but it's hidden. Not everyone can see behind the mask, but there is a face. The understanding of Esther Panim means I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was behind the mask. I know he's there. There's a guy behind the TV, behind the screen, behind what's going on right there in front of me. I know there's a screen showing me all these bad things, but behind the screen is a guy who's crying. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I wish I could do everything good. I wish I could take care of everything for you. I can't right now. That's Adi Purim. What do we do on Purim? We put on masks. We cover our faces. And we say, can you guess who I am? That's the idea behind Purim. Esther Mina Torah Minayim, where do we see this concept of a Kadosh Baruch Hu doing such rachamim behind the scenes? On Purim, God's name isn't mentioned once, but we know that God was behind the scenes. Where do we see such a concept in the Torah? That a Kadosh Baruch Hu does such a thing, that he hides behind a screen, that he hides behind a mask. I'm hiding my face behind something, behind a veil, behind something there. You guys know, everybody knows the Gemara. We're going to end with this. The Gemara Megillah and Daf Zayin, Rabba and Reb Zera are having a meal together. They're eating a meal together. Rabba got up and shechted Reb Zera, right? When he got better, Rabba realized what he had done. He did davened, and Reb Zera tchias amesim. The next year, Rabba sent to Reb Zera, come, let's have the suit again. Reb Zera says, oh no, I'm not coming. Not every year is there going to be a miracle. What a strange Gemara. What a strange Gemara. You got to hear this. This is Reb Schwab. Reb Schwab says, you know what Rabba did? Rabba understood. He saw the punin behind the mask. He had brought himself to the level where he was able to understand why God did certain things and why God was doing certain things. And it only happened when he was drunk. He got drunk to the point where he finally understood there is no difference between the curse of Haman and Baruch Mordecai. There's things behind everything in this world, and he could only understand it when he was drunk. He only got to that point. Reb Zera was at the meal. He told Reb Zera, listen to this. And he told him, shot in the world. He told him, shot in the 50th level. He gave him shot and he said, here's shot in the 50th level. Reb Zera wasn't as drunk. And that type of information coming so suddenly can kill you because it's beyond the level of normal human understanding. So he shechted Reb Zera. Reb Zera died. Reb Zera died. His mind couldn't handle it. When Rabba got better and he got out of his drunken state, he didn't realize anymore. He wasn't on that level. So he went and he was diving to a Kaddish Baruch Hu and said, it's my fault, a Kaddish Baruch Hu, when Reb Zera came back to life. The next year he said to Reb Zera, let's do it again. Let's see if we can get to that 50th level. Now you're somewhat prepared. Now we'll be able to do it, said Reb Zera. Not every year can there be a miracle. I don't know what's going to happen this coming up year. I don't want to try it. I'm good as is. Thank you very much. I think I'll leave it as it is. That's an unbelievable level. That's what you have when you have Mesorah. That's what you can get to when you bring yourself back to Moshe. And without it, we're missing a tremendous amount. That's why Mises tell me to come, Yisur and tell me to come are so strange, so unbelievably powerful. That's the idea behind it. All right, guys, we'll stop with that. Have a good Shabbos. Powerful.
Very nice.